Welcome to Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between, a podcast for anyone ready to embrace life's ultimate truth. It ends. I'm Death Doula Alexis Hughes, here to break down barriers around mortality through heartfelt conversations, personal insights, and practical tools for facing the end with courage and intention. Whether you're curious about death, navigating grief, or seeking ways to live more fully, this is your safe space to explore life's most transformative topics. Together, we'll turn fear into understanding and silence into connection. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. We are on episode lucky number 7, I believe. And today we're going to talk about dark humor. When I go to shows, I was just at World Oddities Expo this past weekend in Atlanta, and I'm representing either the National Home Funeral Alliance or myself as a practice. People are like kind of like tense when they want to come talk to me. And it's always like with this reverence, like, you know, oh, what you do is so difficult. Thank you for what you do. It is. And thank you. But if you're going to talk about death, you got to be funny. And why do we laugh when it hurts? Maybe you clicked on this episode because it made you chuckle. Maybe it felt like the only thing standing between you and a full-blown existential crisis today was a meme about death and a really good iced coffee. If so, you're not alone, because me too. I'm Alexis Hughes. This is Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between. Today, we're not just facing death, we're laughing at it, because sometimes the only thing between us and despair, it's punchline or a meme. So let's start with the obvious. It's weird, right? It's not something you would think of as like, okay, to laugh at death, to joke about loss, cancer, trauma, funerals, or the absurdity of our own mortality. But dark humor is everywhere. Arguably, it is the key component of the millennial generation's coping mechanisms. You scroll through TikTok or Twitter, what's left of it, X now, I guess, and you'll see it. Coffin memes, skeletons with wine glasses, jokes about death being my retirement plan. But it's not because we're insensitive. It's because we're so tired. We're exhausted. We lived through 9/11, a recession, two wars, a pandemic, school shootings, climate collapse, and late-stage capitalism. And we are still expected to go to work today. According to the American Psychological Association, millennials report the highest level of stress of any living generation. And when you can't fix the world, sometimes you just gotta cope by having a really weird sense of humor. Research shows that dark humor can actually be emotionally adaptive. A 2017 study in cognitive processing found that people who appreciate dark humor score higher on emotional resilience and lower on aggression. It's not a defense mechanism. It's a survival strategy. In joking about things, we tiptoe into acceptance. It's like we're sticking our toe in the pool before jumping in. We're joking about it, means we're talking about it, means that the wheels are turning, that we're thinking about it. And especially if the jokes are funny, there's communal laughing. And additional psychological fun point is if you can make people laugh, it immediately kind of like warms them up to you. So it also warms them up to the concept that you were discussing. So gallows humor, as we call it. Why has that become our thing? Because it's a secret handshake, a wink across the void. It's how we say, this is too heavy to hold alone, but maybe if we laugh, we can carry it together. I laugh, you laugh, we all laugh. It doesn't get better, but we're still laughing. So let me tell you about a client I'll call Max. He was 33, dying of brain cancer. He had a terminal diagnosis and less than a year to live. And do you know what he did in our first session? He handed me a list of potential tombstone inscriptions. And his favorite? Well, that escalated quickly. And I still laugh about it now because, like, he was just so done. And he was a funny person in life. So why not be a funny person in death? He didn't make light of the diagnosis because he wasn't scared. He made light of it because he was. We don't know what's on the other side. We don't know what the journey is going to look like. He didn't know what his path through the journey with cancer was going to be. But if he could laugh about it, that was something. There were days when it was too much to just cry again because he needed some way to feel like he had control and like death didn't have the last word. That even though he was dead and gone, he still got to make the last joke. And that every time someone read that tombstone, either with knowing him or without knowing him, they would laugh. Humor is control. It says, I see you, death, and I'm not afraid to laugh in your face. And we've talked about the personification of death, and so I don't want to paint it like we are laughing in death's face and as an adversary, but as a concept, we are laughing at the finality of it, of like, yeah, you know what? You might take me down, but I'm going to go down swinging and laughing. So let's talk about some brain science. I love always bringing in like equal parts woo-woo, equal parts science. Dark humor taps into your prefrontal cortex, where we regulate complex thought, and the limbic system, which we've discussed, where emotions like fear and sadness live. When we laugh at something that should scare us, our brain creates a buffer. It says, I'm in control. It reduces cortisol, lower stress, and boost dopamine. And this is why funerals often have those weird, inappropriate giggle moments. You don't want to laugh, but your brain is trying to break through the tension before you just can't handle it. And that's not disrespect, that's biology. How many of you in times of sadness or even anger have just lost it and laughed like a maniac? It is your brain seeking air. We always talk about in each episode how your brain is doing everything it can to keep you alive because of the things that we have brought with us from our caveman days and things like that. And humor and laughing will dump all of those good hormones. Supposedly, millennials, we try to laugh all the time to wring it out, the happy juice of our brains. Sometimes it works better than others, but that's just a function of our brain to relieve stress and relieve tension and get anything you can to bring back comfort and control. In a 2021 grief study in the Journal of Mental Health Counseling, over 72% of participants reported using humor to process grief, especially in group settings. Laughter became a social glue that helped them feel less isolated and also created bonds. How many times do you think an awful, awful thought or a dark thought, and you know at least one person you know would laugh at it? I use humor all the time, especially in my own grief processing, which I am still doing now. What, let's see, my mom passed in 2014, so 11 years later. I'm still doing it. And I will make an awful joke, and someone will look at me just horrified. And I have to look at them and go, oh, no. She would have laughed at that if she didn't make the joke first. And I laughed at it. And it's just a way to keep grief from taking over everything. So here's what I want you to take away from this episode. Your way of coping is valid. If dark humor is what helps you breathe, if skeleton memes and sarcastic shirts and funeral jokes keep you grounded, good. Let them. I have a shirt that I love to wear that gets conversation going. It's got a Grim Reaper on the front and it says, I put the B word in obituary. Is it appropriate? Absolutely not. Is it hilarious? 1000%. Does it make people laugh and have it break that conversational tenseness to be able to look at my shirt and go, you know what? I lost my dad a year ago, and sometimes I have to laugh about it. And then we have an entire conversation about anything, everything. It's okay. But before we continue, I want to remind you that all of these conversations and more are happening beyond the podcast. At withoutfeardoula.com, you'll find grief support, life coaching, and end-of-life planning services that meet you where you are with honesty, clarity, and zero spiritual bypassing. This is real life, real death, and real support. Whether you're facing grief or burnout or just trying to make meaning, I'm here. Come find your people. We will be right back after this short break. Thanks for joining me on Transformation Talk Radio.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby.
Without Fear is a Chattanooga-based death doula practice helping individuals and families navigate end-of-life transitions with grace, courage, and compassion. Death Doula Alexis provides emotional support, practical guidance, and space to explore life's deepest questions. Through grief support, workshops, and education, Without Fear is breaking the taboo around death and empowering people to embrace mortality as part of living fully. Visit withoutfeardoula.com to learn more and find a safe space for all things life, death, and the in-between.
Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about.
I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Boy, does this feel like good times today. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love it. This is a show that's going to invite all of you to open up your heart because it's about dreams coming true. There's a road we get to take as we craft out and we lay a course that's in service of so many others. Sometimes the universe, God, whatever you believe in, have you ever wondered why, but better than why, or how the universe knows how to line things up in a way that gets you ready for the most expansive part of who you're going to become? This is the time to change. And gratitude, leading with love, opens up more expansive possibilities than you can imagine. Crust busting your way to an awesome life.
I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Do you want to become a host? Start your own podcast to inspire, persuade, and influence others on what you're passionate about? At the Transformation Network, we can help make your talk radio dreams happen. Let's take your hopes, dreams, and passions and put them on air today. Email us at host@transformationtalkradio.com to learn more about becoming a host of your very own show.
Hey guys, thanks and welcome back. So we were talking about methods of coping involving humor. And really, I just want to say, humor notwithstanding, any way you cope is valid. As long as you are not hurting yourself or others, it is okay. If you want to scream, cry, journal, set things on fire, break dishes, go out into the forest and scream into the void, 1,000%. And that last one might also scare some teenagers. So, you know, if you're the local cryptid then, which is even funnier. But like I was saying, if skeleton memes and sarcastic shirts or coffee mugs or whatever keep you grounded and make it more bearable, great. Hold to that lifeline. Tell the dark joke. Tell it to yourself. Laugh in your head. It's totally fine. No one's going to judge you. You are not obligated to be graceful in your grief. You don't have to cry pretty or process politely. I don't know how many times in like memes and things like that, we talk about ugly cry and things like that. Let me just break it down for you. There is no pretty way to cry. All crying is going to contort your face. It's going to be ugly cry, especially if you're grieving. Just cry. We don't have to be pretty. We don't have to be ugly. We just have to be present. Just cry. I've seen families giggle during bedside visuals because grandma would have hated all the fuss. I've heard dying people call their tumors Gary and name their oxygen tank Tina. Just whatever it takes, right? I've seen adult children joke about cremation like they're planning a beach bonfire. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard people make the joke about toasting marshmallows over mom or dad. And that's okay, especially if the person that you are mourning was funny. Say the thing, make the joke. They would have laughed too. And they're laughing on the other side, I promise you. Because every time I say something that I think my mom would have cackled at, I just kind of like absentmindedly look up at the sky and just go, you know, and scold myself on one hand because my humor is very awful. And then also it just makes me still have those connective moments with the people that I miss. And you know what? That's holy. That's sacred. Because it means you're still alive enough to laugh. You are still here. You are still kicking. You can still make the joke. And you can still laugh. The world is really, really heavy. And grief is real. But you're allowed to be okay anyway. You're allowed to find joy even on the edge of a cliff. You are allowed to hold the absurdity of life and death in one hand and still flip bird with the other. Dark humor isn't about disrespect. It's about refusing to let death win by making you small. It's our way of saying, we're still here, we're still laughing, we're still choosing life, even as we face the end of it. You're still present. You're still kicking. You're still finding joy, even if all the joy that you have has claw marks in it. That's okay. And when you're having those tense moments that are relieved by laughter, you're giving yourself permission for future laughter. We have this weird idea that's almost stuck in like the Victorian norms of grieving culture that we have to wear black for X amount of time, or we have to wail and gnash our teeth for X amount of weeks, or we have to never get over it and never be okay. But that's not true. When you find those little joys, those little chuckles, or those big laughs, that's giving you your soul, your spirit, your heart, your brain, everything, and those around you, permission to still seek joy. You can still laugh, especially if your person would have laughed at it. You don't have to continue to mourn or grieve for anyone's approval. You can be over it when you're over it. You can be ready when you're ready. You can smile when you're going to smile and laugh when you're going to laugh. You don't have to appease anyone. if you're ready to smile and laugh as you're doing a home funeral and something funny happens or you have a thought, then laugh with the dead in the room. That is perfectly okay. If anything in this episode made you laugh, cry, or feel a little bit more human, share it. Send it to the friend who shares graveyard memes, post it with the skull emoji, talk about it over drinks with someone who gets it. Because it doesn't just take a village to raise a child, as we've talked about in several episodes. It takes a village, period. It takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to care for a young adult. It takes a village to form community with adults. It takes a village to care for our elders. And it dang sure takes a community to care for our dead and their beloved living people. We always need each other. We will always need each other. We have always needed each other. So if laughter ties us together and eases tension and creates bonds through what is arguably one of the worst experiences to see a loved one pass, put your claws in it and hold on to it. And remember, you don't have to cope quickly. You don't have to cope quietly. You don't have to process anything politely. And you definitely don't have to die afraid. You can, as Max did, have the final word, have the final laugh, look death in the face and go, ha-ha, nope, and go down swinging. That is absolutely within your power, and it is empowered dying. If you're still afraid, even though you're laughing, that's natural. As we've talked about, everything in your brain wants you to preserve your life. It's an evolutionary trait. The brain that drives our human robot does not want to be put out of commission. It wants to stay as long as possible. So it fights death with everything it has. It's okay to be afraid. And it's also okay to laugh through that fear. One of the first things I do in a haunted house when I'm scared is I start laughing. And that's how you know I'm truly afraid. In high tense situations like that, for fear, I laugh. Does it make me any less afraid of whatever's around the next corner? No, not necessarily. But it does create a sense of community because I'll laugh, the person next to me will laugh, and we know that we share this fear, but we're there together. So until next time, stay grounded, stay weird, and stay without fear. Again, that is withoutfeardoula.com. Reach out to me for strategic life coaching, death coaching, and everything in between. I'll see you next time.
I'm Death Doula Alexis Hughes, and you've been listening to Without Fear, Life, Death, and Everything in Between. Join me every third Monday, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard, on Transformation Talk Radio for honest conversations about life's final chapter. Together, we'll break down barriers around mortality and empower you with practical tools to start meaningful conversations with your loved ones about end-of-life wishes. To learn more about end-of-life support and my work as a death doula, visit withoutfeardoula.com. Thanks for listening.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.